2025 has been a special year. Hi, I'm Tracy Dogues, President and CEO at MCNC, and thank you for joining us today for a very special edition of our MCNC Community Connect podcast. For 15 years, MCNC has featured a dozen stories each December to create the 12 Days of Broadband. This cherished tradition is a great way to review our top activities and accomplishments from the year, as well as share important news and updates from our partners and the community. Since today marks the final day of the 12 Days of Broadband, I encourage you to reflect on all the stories we've shared this year. We've once again demonstrated how high-speed internet and smart investments in broadband technologies continue to foster positive economic and social growth in North Carolina. The energy at MCNC throughout the year has been electric, and I believe everyone here today feels it too. It's an exciting time for North Carolina and MCNC, and today I am joined by members of the MCNC senior leadership team to reflect on our incredible year and to look ahead to 2026. Thank you all for being here. MCNC celebrated 45 years of transformation this year. 45 years. Think about that number for a moment. 4.5 decades of innovation and advanced networking to best serve North Carolina. When this organization started, the internet as we know it today didn't exist. The cloud was just something in the sky, data was stored on tape, and no one would have believed it if you said every single human on the planet would carry a supercomputer in their pocket in 2025. But our 45 years is not just a history of one organization building one thing. It is a story of continuous transformation rooted in the ideals of empowering people, serving communities, and creating opportunities. Modern North Carolina doesn't just mean we are one of the most connected states in the country. It also means that we are the most empowered. As I was coming in today to have this discussion, I was reflecting on the rapid pace of change we've all experienced over the years and how it has honestly just been a warm-up because of our technological sprint that is now underway. Maybe we should call the next few years the Great Acceleration. The confluence of generative AI, ubiquitous edge computing, quantum technologies, and more is shaping the start of a new era in networking. Every industry, from finance and manufacturing to healthcare and education, is about to be transformed. And it's not just about incremental efficiency gains, it's about reimagining the very nature of work, decision making, and human potential. The good news is that we all know how to do this. We have the history, we have the vision, and we definitely have the people. This upcoming year will mark the first year of our five-year plan. Over the next year, we will see progress in connectivity across the most overlooked areas of our state through Encore and the HERO Project. Expanding data centers has now become a priority for many of our clients. And we would be remiss not to consider how MCNC might fit into that picture. Internally, we continue to optimize our resources, use automation to become more efficient, and leverage our operational excellence for the benefit of our clients and our community. This is a great segue for me to introduce Tommy Jacobson, our Chief Operating Officer. Tommy?
Hi, Tracy. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all that are listening. In this past year, MCNC has continued to work on the deployment of our NTIA-funded project that we have called HERO since our application. Originally slated to be completed at the end of June of 2025, we filed for and received a no-cost extension to continue work on the project through June of 2026. This extension was needed as a result of a delayed start to the project due to a longer than anticipated time for environmental clearance, as well as the receipt of a easement needed from the U.S. Army to traverse the Fort Bragg military facility in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Currently, we have about 15 miles of the 209 conduit miles needed for construction to complete. We have completed the huts at Rowan Salisbury Community College, Stanley Community College, and James Sprunt Community College that will house the equipment that will power the infrastructure once complete. The 15 miles that remain, the bulk of those are related to the easement that I noted with Fort Bragg. Again, that delayed acquisition of that easement has pushed us back, but we now anticipate that we should finish construction sometime in the early part of the second quarter of calendar 2026. Also in the past year, we took a renewed focus on how we support our customer set. We launched our MCNC's first service desk in February this past year. We've had a long-standing network operations center operating at 24/7 support, and that will continue. And we have a security operations center that has been in place for several years now, and that will continue. But it was there was recognition on our part that a service desk for a single entry point for our customers to contact MCNC and receive the assistance they needed was or assistance they need was warranted. And so within the last year, we have started that service desk that will continue to expand and be a focal point for all of our operational services going forward. Additionally, in this last year, we worked with our partners at the community college system to extend for 5 more years the services that we provide them with for connectivity and security for all 58 community colleges in the state. We certainly value our partnership with all of our customers and community college system as one of those, and appreciate their continued support of MCNC and recognition of the services that we provide to them. And lastly, I would like to point out that we continue our efforts for recovery from Helene that hit North Carolina in September of 2024, as we all know. Those efforts have included working with the North Carolina Department of Transportation on rebuilding the permanent infrastructure for NCREN that was needed as a result of the devastation of the storm. And that effort continues even today as we make temporary repairs permanent as those roadways are rebuilt and cleaned up. We hope to have all of that work completed in by the middle of calendar year 2026.
Tommy, 5 years ago when I started at MCNC, probably five and some change, do you remember when we talked about a potential service desk and how your response to me was, no, we're never going to do that, number one. And two, you know, just how far we've come from, you know, not even considering service desk and some of the associated tools and technologies to where we are today. And I got to say, your enthusiasm around what we're building with the service desk and operations is pretty incredible. I just had to make a wisecrack about the fact that I mentioned service desk to you when I first started and you said, absolutely not. Didn't know if you had a comment about that.
Did I say absolutely not?
You did.
I don't recall that, but I do well to remember what happened 5 weeks ago as opposed to 5 years ago. So, yeah, I think for me, you know, at that time, as had been for, you know, a bulk of the history of MCNC, and I'm surprised that we're talking about 45 years because I've been here for 32 and I'm only 38. So, I mean,
wow. Child labor laws didn't apply back
then. Yeah, but the I think you know, up until that point, that the core part of our service had been, you know, connectivity services, and we had had a 24/7 NOC ever since we began supporting the K-12 community somewhere around the 2008 or 9 time frame. And so, base of operations being 24/7, even 5 years ago, probably felt like enough. But over the past 5 years, we have obviously grown our security services in a fashion that, that is a need for 24/7 support. And it is an area that we have been lacking. And so when we started talking internally, realization became that, we need to take the best components of everything we have and then make an additive addition to that. And the service desk certainly will be that. And so as we, again, with the security services, evolving to include endpoint security, managed firewall, content filtering services, all of those things with cloud and data services going to be launched, in the coming year or so. That's just another service that will need an entry point into the MCNC. And what we don't want to have is people having to bounce around from, one service area to another service area in terms of support. We would rather have one single entry point. So we hired a very capable and talented leader, I believe, last year to start the process of building this out. And thus far, he's done a really good job. And, we're making efforts to continue to grow that and make that successful as successful as we have been. One of the guiding principles that I've told, the operational team is that this needs to be additive. We don't want to take a step back, and the customer should only experience an improvement of service, not a back step. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Chris will tell you here in a while, those threat actors do not just operate in a 9-to-5 schedule. So 24/7 was certainly something that we knew was going to be on the horizon for us. Speaking of talented and capable individuals, I'd like to introduce Phil Emer, who is our Vice President for Business Development. And again, 5 years ago, we were not even considering that as something folded into MCNC and how we look forward to new services and new technologies that come into our environment. Phil, do you want to talk a bit more about that?
Sure. Thanks, Tracy. Yeah, I think we weren't talking about artificial intelligence 5 years ago, even though it's been around for a minute. It wasn't part of everyday life like it is now. And we also weren't talking about expanding potentially data center infrastructure as in support of that, which Tracy, you mentioned earlier. I think that's a good place to start. It's interesting history that if you look at our meager data center of about 5,000 square feet at our facility in RTP, and you look back in history, the reason we have such a data center is because, I don't know, 2004-ish, right? The North Carolina Supercomputing Center winded down because essentially the kinds of equipment that was needed to do high performance computing became commoditized. And so that freed up that space for MCNC to use as a data center for the stakeholder customers. And now, because we have a data center, almost the same customers that took over high performance computing are saying they need a space to do more high performance computing, right? And a shared service for that. And so the pendulum is swinging back. And we find ourselves in the middle of that again. And so I guess what is old is new again on that front. The interesting part, I think, that we're starting to see that we certainly didn't see 5 years ago is that what is important in the data center now is less about floor tiles and space. It's more about power and, as always, network. And so as many of you know, we host a few GPUs, a couple of racks of AI infrastructure in the data center right now as part of two initiatives, one of them being the Duke-led NC Share initiative, which again is essentially high performance computing renewed, right? So what was the North Carolina Supercomputing Center kind of being reborn at some level here? So we have gotten a little bit of experience, right, with this couple of racks, one associated with NC Share, and one associated with a project we're doing with Wake Forest University. And so what we've seen there is a couple of things, right? One, that the universities, particularly the research extensive universities, feel that they need to grow their AI infrastructure. So for them, it's not just about OpenAI and ChatGPT access, right, for their students and faculty. It's about them having and managing infrastructure that can support research across all of their really departments and all of their academic environments. And so, where does MCNC fit, right, in doing that? Well, one place we know that they've asked us about is, can we help them with shared facilities that can provide the kinds of power that they need, but that are also on net and provide them access to sort of the existing facilities and infrastructure. So I think 2026, we'll see a lot of movement and activity there. Not just with MCNC, but with the stakeholders and our partners, right? Both facilities, co-location partners, HVAC and power partners, compute and storage partners, and so on. And so just segueing from there, another thing we did in 2025, Tommy mentioned sort of cloud and data services kinds of things on the horizon. Well, we have seen over the last couple of years a need for MCNC to get more into the business of being a, I don't want to say a cloud provider, but a cloud integration player and a provider of modern data services, which by and large live in the cloud. And so we have really dug into what does that look like. We looked sort of far and wide to find like who are good partners that look like us around the country, and we found the San Diego Supercomputing Center and their Sherlock team, which for the last decade or so has been doing cloud-based secure data enclaves or secure research environments, which is really about providing secure and private access to research data, for researchers and folks doing program evaluation and so forth. And so we established a partnership in 2025 with the San Diego Supercomputing Center and that Sherlock group so that we could a little bit copy their homework and more quickly get some services to market. Turns out that there are some things we do, particularly on the cybersecurity side, that they're interested in incorporating in their work. So I think that relationship will also bear fruit. And it even looks better now that we read the most recent executive order out of DC on artificial intelligence, which is dubbed the Genesis mission, which really talks about a national infrastructure substantially focused on the Department of Energy labs, but also that gives a hat tip to cloud providers, and that's really all about making like opening up access to research data that is sits in universities, sits at the national labs, and making it accessible more broadly, including to private industry. And so this work with the San Diego Supercomputing Center certainly will sort of dovetail there. So it will also be interesting to see what happens there. And then finally, if you again kind of read the fine print inside of the Genesis Mission AI executive order, it talks to quantum as sort of the next level of high performance computing. And about the same time as that executive order came out, IBM and Cisco announced a relationship whereby they're going to leverage IBM's expertise in quantum computing with Cisco's expertise and growing portfolio in quantum communications to build distributed quantum networks of computers, right? Starting in data centers and then moving to sort of what we would consider, maybe the quantum internet, right, of the future. So it turns out, perhaps serendipitously, MCNC has been working closely with NC State and their Quantum Innovation Center, which is a relationship with IBM. We joined this past year as a member of that, and of course have been a long time customer of Cisco's. And so we've been very focused on, where they're going with quantum networking. And so while we've edged into that quantum network in 2025, primarily with building out a set of measurement infrastructure, so let's call it timing and synchronization infrastructure that lets us really understand how to characterize the fiber network, because quantum communication is so much more sensitive to errors. So we've just got our toe in the water, but again, in 2026, I suspect you'll see us going even further with our partners at the universities, at IBM, at Cisco, and startup companies to even dig a little bit deeper beyond AI. So that is, for the moment, I think the exciting work that I'll be looking forward to next year.
Definitely exciting work, I'll say that, and a lot to unpack. Some of this to me sounds so academic too when you're talking about it, because there's just, this type of science and these types of endeavors are not new to MCNC. To your point, Phil, what's old is new again. But I do think, some of these advancements probably have some new implementations to it than we've seen before. So it is very, very exciting. And our community and stakeholders are just waiting with bated breath to see what is going to happen next in this area. So appreciate all the work that you're doing in this space. As we talk about all of this work, one of the things that Jim Nestor and I have talked about is, how do we elevate, spotlight, provide more exposure for all the wonderful things that MCNC is doing. I think we've always been known as the connectivity provider, which has been more of a foundational type of support. And now we're seeing more of the out front work that we're doing arm in arm with our customers. And Jim has done a wonderful job in increasing that visibility. Can you talk more about that, as well as the advocacy work that you're also doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, quite frankly, it's been rather easy when you listen to just Tommy and Phil, what they've talked about thus far, right? There's no shortage of content or things to talk about, both locally and at the state level and even nationally, right? It's been really, for MCNC, 2025 has been a year of outreach, right? Where we're talking about increasing our growth and visibility and driving impact and telling the story of the impact that we've had across North Carolina and the nation, right? We've engaged at the state and national levels to advance broadband access, digital opportunities, cybersecurity, which Chris is going to talk about, quantum readiness, which Phil's talked about, and the future of our public purpose network, right? So all of these things together are elevating our mission, strengthening our partnerships, and reinforcing, I believe, North Carolina's position as a leader in community-driven broadband, right? So when you look at what we've been doing on the state and national stages, we've been talking at a number of conferences, as whether it's a keynote or a panel or moderating things, right? Tracy, you did a fantastic job at the Fiber Broadband Association when we talked about the disparity in federal funding, right? And why some states thrive and some barely survive based upon the uneven distribution of funding, right? And so that was a key topic that resonated not just in North Carolina, but on a national scale, right? And then we furthered that conversation at the Broadband Communities event, right? In Texas, where we talked about workforce development, economic development, and what broadband means, right? If broadband is the infrastructure of opportunity, how do we use it to create opportunities in workforce, economic, and community development, right? We've also talked in a number of publications about quantum and AI, cybersecurity, national podcasts that we've been on with a number of groups, and we've had this leadership engagement across the organization, right? We talked with the Quilt. I know you and Phil have presented, I believe Sarah as well, at the Quilt, right? Addressing innovations in secure networking, disaster recovery and response, the importance of public purpose connectivity, and the importance of recognizing you don't have to go it alone, the importance of partnerships, when you're doing this, these public-private partnerships to drive broadband and to drive these opportunities we're talking about. Well, we also did the Shelby, our involvement with the Shelby Coalition, right? It's not only being a member, but being an active member and driving conversations and advocating for things such as the continuation of USF and E-Rate, right? You and I both were at the Shelby and the Quilt fly-ins in Washington, talking to leaders across the country, talking to members of the congressional delegation, both for North Carolina and abroad, about the impact of those programs and why they need to continue, how we need to look at that, how we respond to the pending Supreme Court case, which thankfully the response was favorable to us. But also at the Shelby event, we talked with, you had a great fireside chat with the FCC commissioner, Commissioner Gomez. Tommy and I were on a panel about Hurricane Helene. And so believe it or not, I got Tommy to go to DC and be on panel, and even better, the very next week, be on a second panel at our community day, which really
Wow.
our efforts, in terms of outreach, culminated with community day that we had not too long ago, right? Where we talked about a host of topics, bringing together our clients, our partners, and stakeholders from across the state and the nation, right? So we were talking about demonstrations, cybersecurity briefings, which that panel that Chris put on was fantastic.
It was.
Right. We talked about consulting. We introduced now this continuing education panel where we talked about consulting and Ruthie Stafford, who's now managing that solution line at MCNC. She was able to talk to our clients and prospects and community influencers across the state about MCNC's new and renewed focus on consulting. Right. It was really just another way to expand our thought leadership, further position MCNC as subject matter experts in a number of topics, both new and emerging. And I think it sets the stage for continued conversations and continued leadership of MCNC and really continued benefit for all of our clients and ultimately all of North Carolina in driving forward, the most connected state in the nation as a result of our collective efforts. So it's been an exciting year. A lot of conversations that we had, a lot more conversations to continue and to be had in 2026.
And the thing that I love about a lot of the work that's being done is now MCNC is being sought after as a thought leader on many of these topics that are impacting our communities and even our country. And so I'm very pleased that we are being looked at in that light, and that goes across the board for all of the senior leadership team members. Sarah Taylor has not, she's not the newest member, but she's certainly second to the newest member of the team. And when we were interviewing for that role, we were really looking for a strategic CFO. And Sarah has done an incredible job helping us build out this 5-year plan, as well as what the financial model and discipline is that we need to have in place to ensure that it goes off without a hitch. Sarah, can you talk a bit more about how we make some of those investments and some of the work that you're doing to underpin these things that we're talking about?
Yeah, so to your point, it was about a year ago at this time that we put together our 5-year financial plan. And really that's, the P&L complement to the 5-year strategic plan. And so that included elements of growing some of our existing service lines, expanding to new customers, as well as investment in new services. And how do we be really thoughtful with that, recognizing that when you're investing in something new, it's going to take a little bit of ramp to get that fully up to speed. So we want to, be appropriate in how we budget for those. But the financial rigor that we're putting with this is kind of establishing what those expectations are upfront. What do we think? What is the investment required? What is the reasonable assumption around the customers that we're going to gain year over year, and what does that what is that ROI that we want to get on those investments? Because, you know, there is no shortage to what everybody has already said. There's no shortage of innovative things that we can invest in, that we can provide to our customers. And so how do we really evaluate all of those different options and which best aligns, that provides us with the appropriate returns that enable MCNC to be sustainable, to meet our customers where they're at. And so that is all built into this 5-year plan. So again, just creating that financial rigor, asking the questions, having those hard conversations around, you know, okay, what does this mean for us today? What does it mean for us tomorrow? How can we continue to operate this 10 years from now? We want to invest in services and products that, continue to generate revenue for MCNC, as well as, you know, continue to provide that service for our customers long term.
And it's such an interesting point, Sarah. We are one of two of the largest research and education network organizations across the country. And I got a phone call yesterday, and someone asked, "Hey, can I meet with your CFO? Because we're just trying to understand how you all are able to do everything that you're doing. And it's got to be, you know, really centered around your financial model." And so I didn't get to talk to you about that yesterday, but someone did call me and say, "Yeah, can we sit down and really just talk about how you all are doing that? Because it's different from what other RENs are doing, and especially because of some of the services that we are talking about here are unheard of for some of the other research and education networks." So I applaud you for the work that you're doing. It's not easy work, as we all know. You know, the underpinning of tools and technology and people are, you know, you've got to get those all in the right place, right, Sarah, in order to make those things come together and work. When we're asking the question of you, "Hey, can we X?" And that's just not a simple answer, right?
Yeah, there's always got to be, you know, you have to be able to zoom out and really, you know, understand, okay, if person A wants to do this thing and person B wants to do this other thing, how do those interrelate? Is there any risk of things clashing in there? And so it does take kind of that mindset of, you know, you need to understand enough about the detail to ask some of the questions to make sure you get the budget right, but then zooming back out to say, okay, how does this fit into the bigger picture? Because it's all a big puzzle piece from a financial perspective. And so how do we put all of those puzzle pieces together in the right way to make a really beautiful puzzle? And I do really enjoy that work and being a partner to my fellow leaders in, okay, what do we want to do? Let's financially figure out how we can get there and check all of the boxes for what everybody wants to do. It doesn't necessarily always mean we can all get it exactly at the time that we want, but you know, we all need to be flexible and agile, but you know, still in pursuit of that broader goal.
Yeah, and I like your analogy about the puzzle pieces, because it's really important when we think about these financial support services that make everything else work in the organization. And so for you, you know, having the right tools and the data is so incredibly important, and the people. And so, you know, that kind of leads into why MCNC is one of the best places to work. Did we get that three times now, Matthew? Is that right?
Yeah, third
Or
year.
was it five? Or seven or
Third,
ten?
well, it will be 5 or 7. So once we made an effort to start looking at some of those external accolades a few years ago, we've been able to chalk some of those up, which is really great. I, you know, we I've talked before in this same podcast over the past year or two about, you know, a lot of the pros that we've got going for us, you know, being recognized as a great place to work, Triangle Business Journal and some other organizations, you know, trying to continue to find opportunities for people to gather and enjoy each other's company, right? The things that people want to have in an environment, particularly when we're so scattered in this hybrid world that we're supporting these days. But if I look back sort of at this year, you know, taking a step back, as, you know, sort of thinking about this year is, I feel like we've been sort of making a lot of sort of organizational shifts and change to sort of lay the groundwork for a lot of the things that everybody's been talking about here so far. You know, we're trying to build out an org structure to support those things that are coming down the pipeline and things that we already know that are going on. All this is aligned back to the strategic plan, that everybody's referenced a couple times. But at an internal level, what I've seen a lot of this year, across this team particularly, but across the organization, is a lot of partnering and communication, sort of to what Sarah was saying a minute ago around how are we going to move these things forward and how can we be conscientious and thoughtful about how it's going to impact our people, right? At the end of the day, we all know where we're going and where we want to be, but how do we look at how that's going to impact folks? How do we look at giving opportunities around that and finding, opportunities for people to stretch and look at different levels of engagement for that? I mean, I think particularly for us, the sort of bigger org changes that we've seen internally this year, obviously the sort of consulting services carve out has been a big one, that, some leadership change adjustments there and moving some functions around within the organization. That has led to some changes on the cybersecurity services side, on our enterprise IT side. We've got the service desk work that, Tommy was talking about that we've been really moving ahead with putting in place this year. There's just a lot of moving pieces with people and operations that have sort of kept us focused on, okay, how are we going to make sure that we've still got our arms around folks, but we've got to move ahead, in these various things. Tommy mentioned the service desk build. That's sort of an ongoing thing. Obviously, we'll continue to evolve over the coming year or two as we put it out in front of customers and things along those lines. We've got all these other new services and products, whether it's data and cloud, whether it's whatever we're going to end up doing with data center work, that Phil mentioned earlier. There's so really trying to find these opportunities for us to bring in the right people that might not be here to help us out with these types of things, but also looking at opportunities for folks to grow as we build those out. We've had some challenges this year. My brain goes immediately to some of the recent discussions we had around benefits issues and things along those lines that a lot of
Right.
companies are dealing with. So, I don't, that is, we have not been spared any of that. But, hopefully we've put some, again, trying to put some groundwork in place to keep us on the right side of that going forward and looking at other opportunities for the coming years that will help us sort of manage those costs and still provide a robust group of services to our folks. It's been all that said, we're 148 people this year. I think when we had this conversation last year, we were just shy of 140, sort of around that place. So we've been chipping up. We've had a little bit of turnover, but nothing sort of, above and beyond what we normally run into. I mean, we've been on a steady uptick, when it comes to people. And I think as we start to look at making sure that what we've built over the years can continue to support realistically going forward what we need to keep doing, without getting too big for our operations, that's sort of always the balance we've got to find. So anyway, I think it's been a challenging year in a lot of ways. I think everybody's had the right sort of focus and of looking at things in a way that, we're going to move forward with building these things we need to do, but we're not going to go so fast charging ahead that we forget about taking care of our folks at the end of the day and moving that logically. So that's where I've seen things.
Well, to quote notorious BIG, mo people, mo problems. I don't think that's actually, but I think it's more money, more problems. But to your point, 5 or 6 years ago, we were 80 something people. And so this is pretty significant to go from that to where we are now. And our retention rate is incredibly low. I mean, yeah, hi, excuse me,
Hi.
wrong way. And all the organizations I've been in my career, and I've been in a few, I've never seen anything like it. And so, when I see the awards that we're getting about, great place to work and all that, we knew that before we were awarded any of those things. And 5 years ago, when I started, Matthew, you and I and Tommy were talking about, well, we were getting ready to do an expansion because we were busting at the seams. And then that went by the wayside. And now we're almost right back where we were before in trying to decide space and how do we want to bring people together periodically so that we remain connected as an organization. And as Sarah mentioned before, it's just another puzzle piece that we have to have in order to make sure that we're taking care of our people. And you and I had that conversation yesterday about, the concern about key resources, but also how do we make more resources key? And
Right.
that takes some internal work around training and building up staff, right?
Yeah. We talked about that on a number of occasions, you and I, but also all of us, I think, on this call, right? We benefit greatly in this organization by having a lot of people that are willing to throw their superhero capes on, right? And get a problem solved or get a thing handled. And that is great. And nobody wants to lose that.
Yeah.
I want to keep a conscious eye on, are we leaning too heavily on those people? I'm worried about burning people out. We're worried about, but also at the end of the day, we need people to be able to do work across the organization. And we need to share, like you said, that not, we need a lot of key employees, not a few key employees. And we need to spread that knowledge. We need to spread that, that engagement, right? We want people to feel like they can be the ones to step up and handle an issue, and that managers are empowering them to do that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think it's also interesting that we have an organization where our general counsel is also a psychologist. And so to be able to lean on him some as we talk about the organization and what is best for its people. So Sean, I know you're going to talk a bit about legal and legislative updates, but I do think it's really incredible that you also have this organizational psychology background as well.
Well, one thing, we've all talked about the change in the environment, the growth of the organization, all the things that are coming ahead for MCNC and for our customers and for the state. And really what makes it, Matthew talked about it, what makes us so effective as an organization are the people and the culture. And that is absolutely essential to continue to pay attention to and to continue to recognize that change is difficult. That's something that everybody knows. It's easy to say you're walking into, as things are unpredictable and moving around, people say, well, change is going to be hard. But then when you actually have to roll up your sleeves and get put yourself into that, it ends up, we don't always recognize that the strain that it puts on people, the challenges that are going to come up. And one thing that's really beneficial about having an organization that takes care of one another and that thinks about what we can, it's a constant evolving process. They're constantly thinking about what can we be doing, that it helps when we know people are going to do the right thing. They've got each other's back. Sometimes things are going to get a little bit bumpy or not exactly sure, but we're going to continue to move in the right direction. A couple of things the law department has been doing with looking ahead and how we can best support the organization, best support our customers. We're looking at maturing some of the processes. As a 45-year-old organization, that's done really, really well. Sometimes it's easy to get into routines and ruts, and so we've been evaluating some things to try to be more effective, more efficient, provide more transparency, allow the trust to continue to be there. This past year, we had a couple different training sessions with our board to tap into some things that to rec well, first, we're extremely fortunate to have an active, knowledgeable board made up of our customers that are volunteers. So they're all super busy people who are giving their time to the organization. They understand the needs of our customers because they are our customers, the majority of them. And so we've done some training with them to get a better sense of kind of what are some of their needs, how do we make sure that we're addressing those. Coming out of those training sessions, we then revise some of our processes and some of our policies really to help try to make things more efficient and working for the board. We've got lots of ideas for this coming year about how to further enhance the communication flows with them. remove some of the lower priority items from their plates, and really map out a strategic roadmap for the board operations so that we can take advantage of that expertise without getting bogged down within some of the more administrative types of matters. That's one thing. Another thing that we've been really very active thinking about this last year and have big ideas for in the coming year is in the risk management space. As people hear the word risk, a lot of times we think, that's something you don't want to get involved with, you want to keep away from. And that's only part of the story. I mean, if we are going to move into these new spaces, and if we're going to continue to be successful in changing times, it involves a certain amount of risk. And with that, there's the discomfort and everything else. So it's how do we recognize what risks are out there? How do we set, and this is also working with the board, set what the our appetite for risk is. What are we willing to take on in order to be successful for our customers? How do we then minimize it? What are the remedies that come out of it? These are all things that we're very actively thinking about and working to upgrade our processes for all the areas that we're involved with, including cybersecurity, which I know Chris is going to talk about a little bit more. So those are a few of the things that we've been thinking about and working on in the law department.
And those are really big things too. And I'll say, even though you mentioned for our board, we have a lot of customers on our board, but be remiss if we didn't mention that we also have technology thought leaders
Absolutely. Yeah,
that
that's right.
also sit on our board, which I think is a really refreshing take on the world outside of, of our environment and outside of our client base, but also within the industries and services that we want to continue to grow. One of those big services, obviously, is cybersecurity. That has been one of the largest growing services outside of connect activity that we have in MCNC. And so, Chris, I'd love to hear you talk a bit more about what that means for MCNC and then what it means for our communities.
Thanks, Tracy. So we've had a lot of themes kind of converging here, talking about change, talking about risk, talking about cybersecurity threats. And you just asked the question, what does that mean for the community? 2025 has been a pretty challenging year with regard to the cyber threat landscape. A lot of these exciting technology changes that we have referenced here related to AI technologies. Those technologies are exciting and potentially very beneficial. But the flip side of the risk there is that they're also very beneficial to threat actors. And so we have seen over the last few months an uptick in threat activity, a lot of which can be attributed to threat actors taking advantage of those technologies to make their jobs easier, to help them be able to move quicker and operate at a greater scale than had previously been available to them. So, as a defender, both here for the infrastructure that we and data that we have here at MCNC, but also provide as a service provider, providing services that help protect folks in the community, we have seen the rise in threats that we're needing to deal with. We have seen new avenues and novel attack techniques that we have to respond to and defend against and help advise the community on. So it absolutely is a very challenging space. So I want to take the opportunity here to give a shout out to the fellow defenders, the fellow technology providers in the community that are working to make sure that these cyber technologies, the digital infrastructure that folks in our community rely on, making sure that those things are available and there and providing services, because it's a challenging thing. So here at MCNC, we have a number of services in the cybersecurity portfolio: managed endpoint protection, managed firewall protection, the web content filtering, the DNS filtering, the attack surface monitoring, and the DDoS protection service. We've had most of those services in place for a while, and we have over 2025 seen continued really important value being delivered to the community via those services. Those services have detected, responded to, prevented a significant number of potential attacks. So those services continue to provide significant protection value for the community that we serve. And I'm really excited about that, proud about that. Where we're going over the next few months and years is really a focus on how do we take the significant amount of telemetry that we have available from each of those services that we're already actioning today, combine that together to be able to operate more effectively, faster in our response capabilities. So how can we leverage these same technologies that we've talked about here and put them to use to make our defense and response more effective for the community? So there's a big focus on that for us. But also to Phil's point, he talked earlier about data. We have a significant access to a significant amount of data that we're currently not really taking advantage of from an action standpoint. So how do we take the telemetry that we have in the existing services and we're already using? How do we combine that with telemetry that we have available to us from other sources that we're not really using today? That's a big focus for us over the upcoming months and years. So very excited to work on that. It's a hard problem from a scale standpoint. It's a hard problem from a economic viability standpoint, right? Doing these things is very doable, but often it's very expensive as well. So how do we do that in a cost-effective manner? How do we do it in a manner that Sarah was speaking to earlier, that is sustainable, that is achievable from an economic reality standpoint? So those are hard challenges as well, and I'm really excited to be working on those. At the end of the day, for me, the digital infrastructure that we provide directly and that we help enable for folks in the community is not getting any less important for these folks to be able to be successful. So our collective ability as a community to protect it and make sure it's available and operating efficiently only gets more important over time. So the cybersecurity threats, the fact that the threat landscape is becoming harder and more challenging, the need is becoming more important as the importance of these technologies goes forward in time. So that is a really exciting problem for to be working on as a defender. It's a big challenge, but it's a really important thing for the community. So I'm excited to be here at MCNC and be part of how do we help play a role in that for the community. So it's good work to be working on, and I'm looking forward to tackling those challenges in 2026 and beyond.
Yeah, and you're not wrong. The issues around cybersecurity aren't going to get any smaller. They're not going to get any less detrimental to the people that it affects, and it's certainly not going to get less expensive. And even though we talk quite a bit about the services that we provide our clients around cybersecurity, it's also critically important that we also employ many of those same tools, technologies that we are creating services out of for our clients. It is the first time I have heard you reference fellow defenders. And so I feel like that's more like a motorcycle gang or We should all have leather jackets. Fellow defenders is a really, really great phrase. Not sure where you coined that, but I really, really like it. So I appreciate all of you taking the time this morning to talk to our community about what we're doing here at MCNC and how much we love the work that we do here. For our audience, thank you for joining us on MCNC Community Connect. Thank you again to my wonderful leadership team here, as well as the entire MCNC team. We can't do what we do without the wonderful people who work at MCNC. And each of you should be very proud of our achievements over the past year. As we move into our 46th year of service, MCNC will continue to lead the advancement of the technology industry in our state. We appreciate your ongoing support and all that you do. We hope you've enjoyed this conversations and others throughout the year, and this year's 12 Days of Broadband. From all of us at MCNC, we wish you and yours a great holiday season, and we look forward to connecting with you again in 2026. Happy holidays from MCNC.